The scripture reading today comes from the Gospel of Luke, first chapter. Luke chapter 1, we'll begin reading with verse 26, read through verse 38. When Elizabeth was 6 months pregnant, God sent an angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a city in Galilee, to a virgin who was engaged to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David's house. The virgin's name was Mary. When the angel came to her, he said, "Rejoice, favored one, the Lord is with you." She was confused by these words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. The angel said, "Don't be afraid, Mary. God is honoring you. Look, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of David, his father. He will rule over Jacob's house forever, and there will be no end to his kingdom." Then Mary said to the angel, "How will this happen, since I haven't had sexual relations with a man?" The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come over you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the one who is to be born will be holy. He will be called God's Son. Look, even in her old age, your relative Elizabeth has conceived a son. The woman who was labeled unable to conceive is now 6 months pregnant. Nothing is impossible for God." Then Mary said, "I am the Lord's servant. Let it be with me just as you have said." Then the angel left her. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. There are days when life just doesn't seem to work out for you. First, something doesn't go quite right. Then something else goes wrong, and pretty soon, you're surrounded with disappointment and left wondering how something like this could have happened to somebody like you. We all have days like that. For some, though, it's the story of their life more than a mere diversion from a better path. Struggle and challenge began to define who they are. To say that they are depressed or that they are defeated becomes their very identity rather than a state of being. We don't really know too much about Mary before she bumps into the angel who brings her the unbelievable news in today's scripture reading. We do know she was young. Well, being young seems to be the wish of many who have begun to experience the things that go along with the aging process. It's not easy being young either. Oh, there are dreams the young may have for their lives, but the thing with dreams are that they can be a far cry from reality. Reality has a way of derailing many dreams of the young, if they dare dream at all, especially in Mary's day. It was implied that Mary was poor, as were most of her people. Very few knew the luxuries of life. And those who did often used their position to make sure the masses remained poor and oppressed. Mary might very possibly have felt that life just didn't seem to work out for her, that defeat was who she was. The other thing we know about Mary was that she was engaged to be married to Joseph. Now, with the news the angel brought, Mary could have been wondering if that was yet another thing in her life that just wasn't going to work out. In fact, most of what the angel had to say to Mary seemed to suggest that her life would only get more complicated. The angel Gabriel is sent by God with a message for Mary, a virgin who is engaged to a man named Joseph. When the angel came to her, he said, "Rejoice, favored one, the Lord is with you." And Mary's response? She was confused by these words and wondered what kind of greeting this may be. That's the words according to Luke's gospel anyway. Perhaps in her confusion, Mary had to wonder what kind of mistake this could be. Remember now, Gabe had never said yet anything about the child being born. And Mary is already confused by the greeting and wondered what kind of greeting it might be. There are many renditions of this scene portrayed by artists. As I imagine it in my mind, I see Mary kind of looking over her shoulder to see who it is the angel is talking to. Favored one? Who, me? You must be talking to somebody else. Never have I ever been called favored one by anybody. Favored one? Look at me. What about my life makes you think that I am favored? There is not one single piece of evidence that suggests I am favored, much less that the Lord is with me. If the Lord is with me, why is it that life doesn't seem to work out for me? It's the point at which Mary is called favored one that causes her to be confused. It just doesn't seem to fit. Favor was the last thing she felt. Imagine being called favored when you don't feel it. Imagine being told you are loved by God when you can't love yourself. Imagine being told that it is God who loves you. Well, that is what this week's Advent candle is all about. We light it as a testimony of God's steadfast love. We light it as a proclamation that God's love has come to us in Christ Jesus. And it's for all people. It's not just Mary who is favored. This good news is for all people. You are favored. God is with you. In response to Mary's state of confusion and defeated self-image, Gabriel says, "Lift your eyes, favored one. God has a plan for you. You are being written into the script of redemption. You are worthy of God's trust. God sees in you the potential to do something that's important enough to change the world and all eternity." David Loos writes that this passage is so important not because it lifts Mary as the exception, but rather because it identifies her as an example of what can happen when you believe that God notices you, favors you, blesses you. You may just change the world. In this story, we hear about God noticing and blessing someone who, by all accounts, is a nobody in the ancient world. And when this nobody, young girl, believes God's blessing and accepts God's favor, the world begins to turn. That is what love, God's love, can do. Even when people are feeling like life doesn't seem to work out for them, they can depend on God's love. And when they do, all of life begins to change, and the world along with it. Not that life was made easy for Mary. That is not necessarily what favor means or what favor does. There were still going to be challenges and struggles. She would face certain ostracism within her community due to the task to which she had been called. She would flee as a refugee, seeking to save her son from the wrath of a mad emperor. She would see her son mocked and eventually watch him die on a cross. There had to be times when Mary didn't feel favored. Luke was never one to leave loose ends. He concludes the conversation with the angel and Mary by saying, "Then the angel left her." Debbie Thomas wonders how different Mary's experience might have been if Gabriel had just stuck around to erase her doubts and silence her critics. But no, the angel departed, leaving the ongoing work to Mary alone. Her yes did not signal the end of mystery. Mystery had only just begun for her. Mary, if she were honest, probably had a lot of days that she sure wished Gabriel had just stuck around. She probably wished she could have beckoned him from the portals of heaven at a moment's notice. Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, America's poet, often referred to his beloved wife Franny as his poetry. After Franny's tragic death, he fell in despair and his pen fell silent. He was left asking the question, if he was supposed to be a poet, why had God taken his poetry away? Many times Mary must have hung her head in despair, wondering if she was supposed to be the favored one, why had God's favor left her on the wings of the angel? All she was left with was the assurance that she was favored, that she was loved by God with a steadfast love. And for Mary, that was enough to embolden her and guide her through the mystery that her life had become. So I ask you, what difference does favor make? What difference does love make when your life still doesn't seem to work out? What difference does love make when life offers you one burden after another, one heartache after another? For Mary, it made all of the difference. Come what may, she never forgot what the angel had told her. It was enough to know that God was with her, that God loved her. It was enough to give her the confidence to lift her eyes and respond to Gabriel's message by saying, "I am the Lord's servant. Let it be." It changed Mary's life narrative from "life doesn't seem to work out for me" to "I trust God's love enough to believe that everything is going to work out." There's a difference between bowing your head in despair and lifting your eyes and saying, "Let it be. I've got this because I'm favored. I'm loved by God with a steadfast love, a love that endures regardless of what is happening or what might happen in my life or the world around me." As we light the fourth Advent candle today, let it proclaim the presence of God's abiding love that shines upon us in the coming of Christ. Let us bask in the glow of the steadfast love of God for each and every one of us. Whenever life doesn't seem to be working out for you, let the light of God's love shine on the path of the mystery that is your life. Listen today as if Gabriel is speaking just to you. Lift your eyes, favored one. You are loved. We need to hear that message. We need to believe it, regardless of the evidence that suggests otherwise. In the light of this candle, let us say with Mary, "I am the Lord's servant. Whatever mystery might bring to my life, let it be." God's love is our poetry, and our poetry lives. For God's love is eternal. God is still God, and his faith shall not fail us. Christ is eternal. Amen.